welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Monday, the 3rd of October, 2011. Hope you had a great weekend. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice, which is the voice, really, of Southern Arizona, because it is the most powerful news talk station. And, of course, our simulcast partners give us some extra coverage, which we really enjoy. KJAA AM 1240 up in Globe, and KAPR AM 930 covering Cochise County out of Douglas. The Buckmaster Show is on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the show at buckmastershow.com, along with an archive of previous programs. Plus, the Buckmaster Show can be heard anytime at TucsonSentinel.com. Tucson Sentinel is Southern Arizona's online news service. We are live Monday through Friday from noon to 1. Monday's lead-off with the political face-off with one of our teams of commentators. Today's team will be John Munger and Vince Ribago. 30 minutes past the hour, Zach Guido, climate researcher at the University of Arizona, will break down the numbers from monsoon 2011, which is now officially in the record books and one of the strangest monsoon seasons on record. Then we will close out the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show with longtime Tucson community advocate Ray Clark will join us. The Buckmaster Show is interview driven, and we encourage you to be part of the conversation. Call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040 or toll free 1-866-725-5467. You can also email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. And if you have a particular story idea or a guest that you would like to hear me interview, we encourage you to contact us. It's time for our Monday political face-off featuring commentators John Munger, Tucson attorney and former Republican candidate for Arizona governor in 2010. He's also the former state chair and local chair of the Republican Party. Vince Ribago is 2010 Democratic candidate for Arizona Attorney General. The Monday political face-off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Vince and John, good to see you this Monday morning, first Monday of October.
Nice to see you both.
Good to see you.
Well, let's begin with what Reuters News Service is quoting sources, Vince and John, saying the Democrats want tax cuts to be the first item negotiated.
Tax increases.
Oh, excuse me. Excuse me. That is a big one, of course. Democrats want tax hikes to be the first item negotiated in super committee deficit reduction talks, trying to force Republicans to confront an issue at the heart of this year's budget fights. Vince Ribago, let's go with you first.
Well, you know, we've talked about this before, actually, when we were talking about the budget crisis, the whole debt ceiling issue. My position, and I think this is what you're seeing coming from those that are on this committee, is that all you have to do is for Congress to let the expiration date occur. It's already planned for in the statute for these tax cuts that were previously imposed during the Bush administration on the wealthiest Americans. So this has already been agreed to. When the Republicans agreed to vote on this bill and passed it through, and the Democrats agreed to give those tax cuts to the wealthiest, and I forget back when, during the Bush administration, they agreed that these would expire and that expiration date is coming up. So all that Congress has to do is do what they've already agreed to do, let it expire. And as you know, the Congressional Research Service has come out with its own report saying that that will not really, to allow that to expire, that we're not going to see an impact on the economy in terms of job growth or that sort of thing. And that's the big issue what the Republicans have been pushing, saying, oh, you're going to kill jobs. we're going to do this. We have to change the law and continue these tax cuts and go past their expiration date. So all they have to do, sit there on their hands. It's going to be a substantial debt reduction strategy, and all options have to be on the table. I think it's irresponsible to not consider all options.
John Munger.
Well, it's just another tax increase. That's what they're talking about doing, is raising taxes during a recession, which even President Obama in 2009 says you don't raise taxes during a recession. It kills jobs. And there's no way that raising taxes on anybody is going to do anything but kill jobs, especially on the people that are those that are creating jobs. It frankly, Bill, it is not enough revenue to the federal government to solve any kind of spending problem. They are not trying to cut spending. What they're talking about doing is just spending more. It's tax more so you can spend more. And there's no confidence on anybody's part that this is going to be used to reduce the deficit, number one, and there's no plan to use it to reduce the deficit. But the point is that it's going to kill jobs. And, you know, John Kennedy said that was bad. Barack Obama himself said it's bad. Why are they doing this? They're doing it for political reasons, Bill. They're doing it to drive a wedge between different economic classes in this country. The Democrats thrive on class warfare. That's what this is about.
And you say this is the motive, then,
class warfare. There's not enough money in this in the federal government to come anywhere near balancing the budget. All it's going to do is kill jobs, but it's going to help them win an election.
Vince, is this about class warfare?
Here's the reality. The reality is that the Republicans declared class warfare by giving such tax cuts to the wealthiest, while the most struggling of Americans are still struggling to have ends meet. And when you see some of the speeches that are given by either some of the current presidential Republican candidates or some of the congressmen, they want to shift more of that burden onto the poor. Blame the poor. So, you know, the reality is they're trying to posture and make it sound like, oh, this is a class warfare thing. Yes, it is. They declared class warfare. You've seen the greatest income transfer and wealth transfer in our country occur, over the last 25 years. And this is a modest step. If it's such a modest a drop in the pool, then they shouldn't have an objection. If what John is saying is true, that this is really not a big deal, then why object to it? The reality is that they don't want to roll back. They want to continue making the haves have more and the have-nots continue to suffer. Look at the report in today's paper about insurance here in Arizona for children.
Let me respond to that. First of all, Vince, I have the numbers here. There has not been a redistribution of wealth over the past 25 years, or even over the past 90 years, and I have the statistics here to show it. The wealthiest 1% have consistently, since 1922, had about 34% of the economy under their control. That hasn't changed since 1922. So your comment, I know the Democrats like to say, oh, there's been this redistribution of wealth. That's untrue. Number two, Vince, 47% of the people in this country pay no federal income tax.
What percent?
47% pay no federal income tax. The top 1% pay 38% of the federal income taxes. The top 10% pay 70% of the federal income taxes in this country, Vince. You can hardly say they're not being taxed their fair share. And when there is a tax cut, of course it affects those who are wealthiest because they're the only ones paying taxes.
Hey, the reality is you know why they're not paying more? You know why they're not paying taxes? They don't make enough money. That's what you call poverty level. The IRS and the federal government comes up with these standards.
It's a different issue, Vince.
And they come up and they say, you know what? If you don't make enough, you don't have to
file a
piece
of paper. That's a different issue. Your allegation.
That's what you're saying. That's a standard talking point by the Republicans.
No.
They glom onto the fact of people that don't make enough money to pay federal taxes. They don't have to because they're not required to. They don't make enough.
But here we go.
Okay.
I agree,
and so they try to trot this out, making it it's a false comparison to make it look like, oh, these people are getting such a free ride.
No, Vince.
They don't make enough.
John says you're wrong.
He says that to everything I say.
I'm not arguing that these people, under the current code, don't make enough to pay taxes. They clearly don't pay. Here's the issue, though. You keep saying that the tax cuts, when they happen, are only for the wealthy. The answer is, Vince, only the wealthy are paying taxes. So, of course, any tax cut is for the wealthy. And that's where you've got a problem. The bottom classes don't pay any taxes. They can't have a tax cut. It's impossible to go from zero to less than zero.
12:15 on the Buckmaster Show and 790-2040. John, before we take the break, one of our Buckmaster Show listeners has a question for you. This came in on the Buckmaster Show Facebook. Mr. Munger, since the economy has a demand problem, could you explain how cutting taxes and regulation will increase demand?
Well, certainly.
This is from John Ralston.
Sure. John, if you cut taxes, then the people who aren't being taxed have more money to spend. That's just simply fact. Don't tax me as much. I have more money to spend, and that's going to create demand. That's very simple. Now, with regard to regulations, let's take a few examples. If you cut the regulations on the incandescent light bulb, you would all of a sudden create tens of thousands of American jobs, because the incandescent light bulb is made in the United States and these curlicue light bulbs are all made in China. So by these regulations that we've eliminated the incandescent light bulb, sounds right, doesn't it? But we've eliminated all the jobs, all the income, all the demand that comes with those jobs and transferred that to China. Look at the regulations on oil and gas. They won't let us drill for oil and gas. You could create tens of thousands of jobs by eliminating regulations on oil and gas. I'm not even asking for subsidies like the solar power gets, but you would automatically create demand. Look at the banking system. The regulations on the banking system have reduce the ability of banks to make loans, which in turn makes businesses and people poorer, which in turn reduces demand. Eliminate some of these regulations. Don't deregulate completely, but make them reasonable.
Okay. Vince, you want to quickly before the break, or do you want to go to this phone call?
It depends how much time you have before the break.
Let's take this call real quickly. Can we do that, Rose? Let's go to Chris. Chris, go ahead. You're on the Buckmaster Show on the Monday Political Face-Off with Vince and John.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hey, I have heard that they could confiscate all the wealth and up the taxes to 100% on the wealthy in this country, and it still wouldn't come close to solving our debt crisis.
That is absolutely correct. They could literally confiscate all of the wealth of the wealthiest 1% in the country, and it would not pay the deficit. So, and then, you know what would happen the next year? This country would be absolutely broke.
Go ahead, Vince.
You know, the reality is when you are facing all of these issues, whether it be by you're looking at these different strategies, you have to take all of these options. And what you hear from the Republican side of the aisle is, no, we won't do it. We won't do it. Nothing involving raising revenues. Well, you know what? You have to consider all options. People want responsibility in government, and they're not providing it by their one stick in the stand, one flag, no taxes, never, no revenue increases ever, because it's bad in all circumstances. Because I'll tell you what, John, have you ever found a circumstance where you would say, we got to increase revenues? In this way.
No, not
there.
Not,
you go.
Not
a, there you go. Not we'll a, never not under a, any other
Vince,
circumstance.
I'll tell you why.
Ever. Vince, see, that's the problem. It's all one-sided.
Vince, please let me respond.
But quickly, but
this
John,
is not,
we have
this
to
is
take
not
a break.
Compromise for compromise sake is not good, Vince. What you're talking about is wrong. I'll consider it, but it's wrong. So don't do it.
12:18 on the Buckmaster Show. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. Vince and John are here. We've taken your calls. Give us a call, 790-2040. We will be back on the Buckmaster Show on the Monday Political Face-Off.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Want to lose weight? You're not alone. 2 out of 3 people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET.
The Arizona sun is intense regardless of the season. That's why you need Sierra Shutters and Sun Control, Southern Arizona's custom shutter specialist and proud supplier of O'Hare Shutters, locally manufactured blinds and state-of-the-art window tints. Our power bills are less after installing Sierra's 100% hardwood shutters and window tints in our home. Call Sierra Shutters and Sun Control 292-2212 or check out their extensive website, sierrasuncontrol.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
/12:22 on the Buckmaster Show, the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's is next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge at moesgallery.com. Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. I think we're going to take Jonathan first. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
I did want to clarify something. On this show, as well as on others, this desire to keep to let the tax cuts expire and increase taxes on the so-called wealthy. Well, it's not actually, income tax is not a tax on wealth. It's a tax on income.
That's
which
right.
Can also be described as productivity. And I'm not an economist, but I think that if you punish people for being highly productive or you remove the incentive for people to become more highly productive, that's just going to lead to a slowing in the economy and increased unemployment.
Okay, thank you, Jonathan.
I agree, and it's going to mean that, you know, if I have to pay higher taxes as an employer, I'm going to have less money to hire other employees.
Vince?
Well, the reality is that we are in an unprecedented time with this budget crisis. And when you have the have-nots being asked to shoulder more of the burden, when the haves can give back into that pool, to me, that's what you call justice. It's equity. Everybody that can give more should give more. It's the same thing, you know, if I'm at the store and my child has their allowance and I can pay for it, I'm not going to let my child pay their hard-earned allowance, which they have so little, and they can't make
sense. Vince, that's a false
fairness. No, it's not a false.
Yes, because
you ask any of the poor people that are poverty-stricken that don't file taxes because they can't afford it. It's a matter of fairness and equity,
Vince,
in our system.
Nobody's talking about cutting them off. What we need to cut off are the federal subsidies to large corporations, the sugar subsidies, the farm subsidies, all of these green subsidies that you've got. We're not talking about cutting people off. The poor people aren't being asked to pay more.
Okay, we're going to go now to the next caller on the Buckmaster Show live line, Dave Croteau. Dave, how you doing?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm doing good.
Tell us, what's on your mind?
Well, I was at Tucson's first Occupy Tucson rally this Saturday, and the kickoff will be the 15th of October. And because it's a national movement that started in Wall Street, I'm wondering what your guests think of this revolution that's happening in America.
Okay, thanks, Dave.
I don't know what their goal is. They haven't announced their goal on Wall Street. All they've done is occupied Wall Street for 3 weeks. Nobody seems to know what it is they want. It's very typical of college students and young people and anarchists, frankly, to occupy places. But if they tell me what they want to do, that's fine. But it's not making an impression on me because they haven't made their goals clear.
Vince, do you understand what's going on?
I do understand it, and I think it's a good thing. It's an important thing. The reason, from what I can tell, and I agree that there had been a pretty much a leaderless movement till of late. I think they're getting much more organized.
And a purposeless movement.
But no, not purposeless. What has happened is that there's a general sense, and you'll see this across all parties, And this has been out there in the polls. There's a sense that the meltdown, the financial products that were never designed for home ownership, all of the misdeeds of Wall Street through the lack of regulation have not been held accountable. And so what you see is that's why they went to Wall Street. They're saying we want a system to be changed. You add in these other recent events like the Supreme Court saying that corporations have a First Amendment right. And so there's this general sense that, hey, where are those that don't have that voice? We want some accountability. We want those that have nothing to have a voice. And that's what you're seeing. And I think it's important. And this dovetails back to what John was saying earlier when he was saying that, oh, let's talk about the economic viewpoint of banks. And there was a question from a caller about regulation. The reality is, for example, when we gave this massive bailout to the banks, they did not lend that money. They did not lend that money, and they've been criticized roundly for holding on to that capital, which hard-earned taxpayer dollars gave.
So it's a backlash, you're saying.
It is a backlash, and it's well-deserved, and people need, and it has been covered in the major mainstream media for the most part.
The interesting part is the conservatives were against the bailouts. It was the liberals who paid the bailouts. Obama was leading the charge for all of these bailouts of GM and the banks.
Started under Bush, actually.
I
criticized Bush and Obama both.
And it was
let
me finish. It was the wrong thing to do. We've been against the bailouts. Nobody should get bailed out. And it's the liberals that are currently leading the charge for the bailouts. Now, let me tell you about banking.
That's a false statement right there.
I'm a founder of a small bank. Small banks
didn't
get any of these loans. The loans went to these huge corporate banks that are in cahoots with government.
That's why you need to be out there on Wall Street, John. They need your voice out there because you need people that are responsible to be able to bring a different perspective.
Let me finish. The small banks in this country, I can tell you, we don't have demand for loans. If we had demand for loans, we'd be making the loans, but we don't have demand for the loans. And I imagine the big banks are in the same position. I'm against the bailouts, but if we're going to have this movement, then they need to have a proposal. They can't just sit around and complain. They need to tell us what it is they want, and what their recommendations are. They haven't done that.
I don't know if they have or have not done that. The reality is they've not been really covered on mainstream media. But they're covered every day.
That's going to do it for the Monday Political Face-Off. John Munger and Vince Urbago, thank you both very much. Gentlemen, have a great day. Have a great week. Okay. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's is next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge. He's also on the web, moesgallery.com. The Buckmaster Show for a Monday will continue. We're going to talk about monsoon 2011. What a strange year this has been for precipitation in the valley. Stay with us. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Amanda Knox will learn shortly whether she'll be able to return to the U.S. from Italy after 4 years behind bars. She's appealing a murder conviction. When the Nobel Prize in Medicine was handed out today, the Nobel Committee wasn't aware that one of the three winners had died several days ago. But the committee says it will not be taking back the prize awarded to cell biologist Ralph Steinman, even though prizes are only supposed to go to those who are still alive. Youth camps will be resuming at an island near Oslo, Norway, where 69 people were killed by a gunman. That happened back in July. Updating Wall Street, the Dow is down about 210 points, the NASDAQ off 73, the S&P 500 index 29 points in the red. More details at srnnews.com.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Sierra Shutters and Sun Control is the leader in quality hardwood O'Hare brand shutters in Southern Arizona. 100% customer recommended and satisfied. Sierra Shutters and Sun Control also has the highest quality blinds, shades, and state-of-the-art window tints that really make a difference in keeping your home cooler. Check out their extensive website at sierrasuncontrol.com or give them a call at 292-2212 for a free in-home estimate.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you too can make a difference, visit us at assistanceleaguetucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Lemon Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
1234. This is the Buckmaster Show. The home of the Buckmaster Show is AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. Also our simulcast partners in Douglas and up in Globe. So we've pretty much got Southern Arizona and certainly the north or southwestern part of New Mexico covered here on the Buckmaster Show with the three stations. And it looked like monsoon 2011 was going to go into the record books as one of the driest ever in the Tucson Valley. Then a nearly 4-inch rain event pushed those numbers the other way, making monsoon 2011 in Tucson, anyway, one of the 10 most productive in terms of rainfall. Joining us in studio is Zach Guido, Associate Physical Scientist for the Climate Assessment for the Southwest, which is based at the University of Arizona's Institute for the Environment. Zach, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me back.
Well, it's good to have you back. And I think the last time we talked, Zach, we were talking about one of the driest monsoons ever. But, you know, when it comes to weather, who can tell? I mean, that was an incredible event that we had with almost 4 inches. I think it was one of the biggest rainfalls ever recorded in Tucson.
Yeah, those storms at the end or in the middle of September really padded the statistics.
I mean, what has it done, Zach, in terms of our drought situation?
Well, we're still in, for the Southwest in large, most of the Southwest is either in extreme or exceptional drought. And extreme is defined as a drought in one in every 20 years, and exceptional is one in every 50 years. So most of the Southwest, if not all of it, and by Southwest, I mean Arizona and New Mexico, is labeled with some sort of drought conditions. And while the monsoon season helped some places, it didn't help other places, and we're entering into the winter in very similar situation that we started the monsoon season with.
Where, of course, this radio show is heard in Cochise County, over into, as I mentioned, parts of New Mexico. When you get outside of the Tucson area, where were the good rainfall areas? Was Cochise County pretty good?
Yeah, actually, that was more or less the bullseye of the monsoon this year. Cochise County, Graham County, and parts of Greenlee County received, I believe, somewhere in the vicinity of 125 to 150% of their average. And, you know, Tucson as well. I think Tucson at the airport received about 8.6 inches, and it typically receives about 6 point something. So it was a fairly productive monsoon season here in Southeast Arizona, but outside of Southeast Arizona, it was by and large dry.
Where is the drought the worst in New Mexico and Arizona?
The drought is, the worst drought is in Southeast New Mexico, and it's an extension of the drought that's plaguing Texas at the moment. And, you know, that really began in the winter when the La Nina event unfolded and brought dry conditions to the Southwest and parts of most of Southern Arizona and New Mexico and Texas as well. And that drought's continued.
The Texas drought is almost it's of historic proportions. What's causing that?
Well, in the winter, when it started, it was largely because of the moderate to strong La Nina event, which would push West Coast emanating storms more north. And then in the monsoon season, a high-pressure system, the monsoon ridge, sat up over Texas and really brought dry and hot conditions, which sort of perpetuated the drought. It was both a cause and a consequence of the dry and hot conditions in the region. In good monsoon seasons, that monsoon ridge sort of migrates more north up to the Four Corners region. And this year, it by and large sat over Texas and Oklahoma and eastern New Mexico.
And, you know, I've seen some reports saying that this drought in Texas could go on for years. I mean, that's really scary.
Yeah, it's hard to get at when you have a lot of precipitation deficit. It's hard to get out of. And they're in a pretty historical drought right now. And I haven't looked at the statistics to see how much rain is needed to get that area to looking like normal conditions. But I would imagine it's fairly significant rain, and it's going to take a lot of precipitation this winter and probably some in next summer to really improve conditions there.
Zach Guido is with us. He's a climatologist from the University of Arizona, and every month or so, Zach and his colleagues put out the Southwest Climate Outlook. I strongly recommend folks take a look at this, and this is available, Zach, free of charge, isn't it?
It is. It's on our website, www.climas.arizona.edu.
And you put it out every month?
Every month we have this product, which is more or less a summary of many different climate-related conditions like temperature, precipitation, forecasts. We also have a feature article that we write about something that pertains to climate and people in the Southwest.
This winter, you say, in the September edition of the Southwest Climate Outlook, may not be as dry as the last. Why so?
Well, that's largely because last winter was really dry. And so just looking at the statistics, it would seem that this winter looks like it's going to be dry because it's another La Nina event is unfolding, but it may not live up to the dryness of last winter.
Record warmth continued across the Southwest.
Yep. The Southwest in the monsoon season, I believe Phoenix recorded its warmest monsoon season on record. I think August was the warmest in the last 117 years, which is on record, in Arizona and New Mexico. And that is in large part because the middle portion of the monsoon season did not experience a lot of rain. And so when you have rain, temperatures are usually suppressed. There's more clouds, energy is going into evaporating the soils. But when you don't have rain, temperatures really soar. And so the middle part of the monsoon season, really outside of the first dollop and the dollop that you were talking about in the middle of September.
Which Phoenix didn't get, but they got a big dust storm, I think, another one of the big dust storms out of it. So Phoenix wound up, I think, with one of the most unproductive rainmaking summer seasons ever.
Yeah, it was really a tale of two cities. Tucson had above average precipitation, and Phoenix, I believe Phoenix received about 60% of their average. I think they got 1.7 inches, and they typically get 2.7 inches or something like that.
What's the big picture out of all of this, Zach? How is climate change affecting our rainfall season, summer and winter?
Well, the summer, it's not as known as the winter, and that's because the processes that control the summer precip operate on much smaller scales. And we're also on the northern fringes of the monsoon season. And so we have a lot of different climatological influences on the monsoon season, like sea surface temperatures in the Atlantic, in the Pacific, North Pacific, in the tropical Pacific. All these things sort of play a role into dictating what our monsoon will look like. And a lot more research is needed there. Now, conversely, the winter is a little bit easier to figure out because the processes are more regional. When it rains in Tucson, it tends to rain in Phoenix. And research coming out of the universities and elsewhere suggests that it's likely going to be drier. And it's likely going to be drier because the end of the winter season in the March period, there's less storms coming our way. The jet stream is getting pushed north because the land is warming up faster. So the atmospheric circulation is altering.
Are the summers going to be hotter?
The summers will likely be hotter.
I shouldn't have asked you that. But it's been the trend, hasn't it?
It's been the trend. It's getting warmer both in the winter and the summer. And of course, there's going to be year-to-year variability. We're going to continue to see that in a warming world. But one would expect that, given global warming, that future winters and summers will be warmer.
La Nina means what usually for the southern Arizona area?
La Nina means dry conditions, and it means wet conditions up in the Pacific Northwest. And what happens there is the atmospheric, the westerlies get pushed more north, and we get less storms being wafted in on those fast air currents.
Well, La Nina, we were under the effects last winter. Is that what made it so dry?
Yep, and now we're having the climatological double dip, and that is two La Ninas back to back. And if you look at the historical record, there tends to be difficulty. The atmosphere has difficult time shedding strong La Nina events, and they tend to occur in pairs, sometimes even 3 years in a row. And so it can be dry for a couple winters in a row.
One of your specialties is making decisions or helping the decision makers make their decisions about climate. What factors do you take into consideration when you're making up your reports?
Well, the Southwest Climate Outlook, which you alluded to earlier, was developed a while ago, and it was developed in collaboration with a lot of different people in the Southwest, a lot of different organizations like the Bureau of Reclamation and different organizations that can use climate information. And so there was a process of asking them what they want to see, how they want to see it, what kind of graphics that we show. And so I've really just taken this over and continued a product that is has been doing well, and a lot of people use it.
I would assume it's very important for the agricultural interests in Arizona and New Mexico to take a look at it.
Yeah, we have a number of ranchers. We have a number of farmers that look at this, probably more ranchers. I think our number one consumers of this product are both people that work in water management and government agencies and academics and people in research, you know, that want to tune in to what the climate is like and what the weather is doing and get a good summary. Those three demographics seem to be who consume this the most.
Okay, Zach Guido. And, of course, the monsoon is officially over on October 1st. Is that the way the new thinking is?
Yep, June 15th through September 30th, I believe, is the end.
Well, this has been a strange one.
Yeah, they all are.
Yeah, when it comes to weather, who knows, right? Coming up on 12:45, Zach, thank you very much. And where can people, again, get the Southwest Climate Outlook?
Our website is www.climas, spelled C-L-I-M-A-S, .arizona.edu.
I strongly recommend it. Thanks a lot, Zach.
Thank you.
The Buckmaster Show continues. We'll be talking about the Dragonfly Village. You've got to find out about this. That's coming up next on the Buckmaster Show, Monday edition. Stay with us.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
It's 12:50. This is the Buckmaster Show, and I am Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI. It is the voice, and it is the Southern Arizona powerhouse, the strongest signal of any of the news talk stations. It's right here on The Voice. Joining us now on The Buckmaster Show is longtime Tucson community activist and advocate Ray Clark. Mr. Clark is the Southwest Regional Vice President of Amity Foundation and Board President of the Dragonfly Capital Campaign. Amity Foundation is a nonprofit substance abuse treatment agency. Mr. Clark is the former president and CEO of the Tucson Urban League. He held that position for 20 years. Just recently, Mr. Clark was named to the Carondelet Foundation Board of Directors. Also joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line is Dr. Lisa Fogel. Dr. Fogel is a Tucson dentist who is also a board member. She's a big advocate for the Dragonfly Village. She has developed and organized a nonprofit art gallery specifically for Dragonfly Village. Mr. Clark and Lisa, Dr. Fogel, good to have you both with us.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Lisa and Mr. Clark, good to see you.
Thank you, Bill. Glad to be here.
Tell me, Mr. Clark, let's begin with you. Tell me a little bit about what Amity is doing with this Dragonfly Village.
Well, Amity Foundation's been around for over 42 years. Amity Foundation helped pioneer the concept of mothers having their children with them in treatment for a multitude of issues. So as we speak, we're in the process of building a state-of-the-art residential treatment facility for mothers and kids.
Why is this needed, Ray?
Well, simply, there would be no option for these individuals. It addresses the problem of homelessness, and as I said before, a multitude of other problems. Drugs are only a part of the story.
And you have experience working with young people. You were deputy director of juvenile court. You were worked for the governor's advisory committee on health, right?
Governor's Council on Health, yeah, executive director, yes.
And how serious is this drug problem with these young people, and why is it important to get the mother involved with them?
Well, unfortunately, the problem is very, very significant, not only in America, but throughout the world. It's extremely important that we be able to turn this corner because it's so expensive. By having family together in one location would save tremendously on other services.
Lisa Fogel, Dr. Fogel, let's bring you into the conversation. How did you get involved with Dragonfly Village, and what did you decide to do about it?
I agree with Ray Clark's issue with getting the family and the children involved in treatment. What we want to do is break the cycle of addictions, and oftentimes it goes from generation to generation. In the past, I've had my own art gallery. It was a for-profit gallery. Now what we're starting downtown is a non-profit gallery benefiting Dragonfly Village. And the purpose of the gallery is to promote local artists and generate revenues through sales of art for both the artists and Dragonfly Village. And the gallery will also provide visibility in the community by having a physical site that's open to the public to promote the mission of Dragonfly.
And this gallery will be at 146 East Broadway, Dr. Fogel, and I understand it's going to be in a renovated carriage house.
It is, and we've completed the renovations. We will be opening the gallery with our grand opening October 20th from 5 to 8. Our theme is Flight of the Dragonfly. We're taking off with this project. And information can be obtained by checking our website, dragonflyvillage.org, or calling 628-3164, extension 211. And besides the gallery, many of our artists have volunteered their time in an art curriculum that we will be instituting at Dragonfly Village. And Bill, the important thing about art is that it is a therapeutic tool. It allows youths and individuals to express in a nonverbal form their feelings and emotions. And the curriculum will also promote creativity, self-esteem, and socialization skills.
Well, I think it's wonderful what you're doing. The proceeds from the gallery will go directly to support and maintain the building and programs at Dragonfly Village. Mr. Clark, Ray Clark, tell me a little bit about the site itself. Dragonfly Village is on the campus of Amity Foundation.
Amity Foundation has what we call Circle Tree Ranch. It's 65 acres. If you were to travel far east on Tankerville Road, once you pass Houghton Road and go about 300 yards to your right, would be the entrance of Circle Tree Ranch. We're taking about 4 acres and devoting it to Dragonfly Village. We will build 2 neighborhoods. Each neighborhood will consist of 12 different homes. Plus, we're building a community center, which will feature a professional child care facility as well as other amenities.
And I guess you're going to also have, you'll have a dining hall, recreation facility, study rooms for the kids?
We sure will.
Dragonfly, the significance of the name, you want to hit on that or you want to pass that over to Dr. Fogel? Go ahead.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. Naya Arbiter, who is one of the founders of Amity Foundation, brought this forward by saying that Dragonfly, basically throughout history, has been a legend. And to make a long story short, Dragonfly is about bringing comfort to children. So all adults, volunteers, and supporters who help us in this endeavor are dragonflies, and they help make a positive difference in the lives of people who have no other option.
Well, Dr. Fogel, I, for one, love dragonflies. They are a symbol of kind of renewal and whenever
change.
Yeah, and whenever and change, definitely change.
The other thing is the dragonfly skims along the surface, the top of the water. And what dragonfly is telling us is there's so many opportunities that lie below the surface that we need to connect with for our life and for our individuality. And Dragonfly Village is about capturing that in our lives.
So I would assume that there will be dragonfly-oriented art to some extent at the gallery.
There will be, and there will be other themes that run along, well, not necessarily with dragonfly, but community interest. And the shows will change about every 6 to 8 weeks, and will feature our various artists, including John Lightfoot, Joseph Birdsong, Moira Jeffrion, Dana Smith, Stacey Hayes, just to name a few.
Well, it sounds like a great lineup. And again, it's at 146 East Broadway Boulevard in a renovated carriage house of the Julian Draw Building. And you're getting ready to launch. The public is invited to come out again. Lisa, when is the date?
The date is October 20th. It's from 5 to 8. And as I said, it will be information on our website, dragonflyvillage.org. And we also can give information at 628-3164, extension 211.
Lisa Fogel, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, Lisa Fogel, Dr. Fogel, who is, I think it's wonderful, Ray Clark, that she's involved with this. This sounds like a great project with the art gallery.
Well, nonprofit organizations could not be successful without very committed volunteers, and Lisa certainly is a prime example of that.
The village is under construction at the moment?
Yes, it is. Due to the leadership of Amity Foundation's president and CEO, Rod Mullen, and a host of incredible staff and volunteers out there at the ranch, we are getting ready for what would truly be a state-of-the-art facility.
When do you think you'll be then up and running with the facility?
Next year this time, I hope to invite you for a special tour.
Well, that'd be very nice. And again, how many families will you be able to accommodate?
We'll be able to serve up to 100 family members.
All right. Ray Clark, thank you very much for talking with us about Dragonfly Village, and good luck to you.
Bill, it's good to be with you again.
Thanks so much. Ray Clark with us, and we also want to thank Dr. Lisa Fogel. The Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger, an associate certified public accountant. Stop by and see certified public accountant Michael C. Flowers. Flowers and Rieger, the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. That's going to wrap it up for this Monday of the Buckmaster Show. Always live Monday through Friday right here on KVOI. Tomorrow we'll talk about Rosemont Mine. The head of Trio will be with us. Got an outstanding lineup. The head of a new project called Healthy Pima. And, of course, Shelley Fishman, our certified financial planner. Have a great afternoon. See you tomorrow at noon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas, and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.